Hare Krishna. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivaradhari. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivaradhari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jamuna Tiravanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivaradhari. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivaradhari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Padagaj Kacharya Ashtutra Shatta Shri Jimad. His Divine Grace Abhoy Chadanara Vinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Padagaj Kacharya Ashtutra Shatta Shri Jimad. His Divine Grace La Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasati Thakur Prabhupada Ki Jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Prem Sekaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shyamakund Radha Kund Giri Govardhana Ki Jai. Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai. Shri Mayapur Dham Ki Jai. Gangamai Jamunamai Ki Jai. Bhakti Devi Ki Jai. Tulasi Devi Ki Jai. Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga Jai Srila Prabhupada. Namo Vishnupada. Swami Tinami Namaste Sarasate Deve Kuruvani Pracharine Rishishani Vali Paschari Chitavine Hare Krishna. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya. Naraṁ caiva narottamam. Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam. Tato jayamudirayet. So we're reading from Canto 10, Chapter 10, Text 17. Yes, good. Taridrasyaiva yujyante. Sadhava samadarshina. Sadbhi chinoti tam darsham. Tata arad vishudyati. Taridyasyaiva yujyante. Sadhava samadarshina. Sadvichinoti tam darsham. Tata arad vishudyati. Taridrasyaiva yujyante. Sadhava samadarshina. Sadbhi chinoti tam tarsham. Tata arad vishudyati. Taridrasyaiva yujyante. Sadhava samadarshina. Sadvikshinoti tang tarsham. Tata arad vishudyati. Taridrasyaiva yujyante. Sadhava samadarshina. Sadvikshinoti tang tarsham. Tata arad vishudyati. Daridrasyaiva yujyante. Sadhava samadarshina. Sadvishinoti tang tarsham. Tata arad vishudyate. Ladies. Daridrasyaiva yujyante. Sadhava samadarshina. Sadvikshinoti tang tarsham. Tata arad vishudyati. Daridrasya. Of a person who is poverty stricken. Eva, indeed, yujyante, may easily associate, sadhava, saintly persons, samadarshina, although sadhus are equal to everyone, to the poor and the rich, the poor man can take advantage of their association. Everyone, to the poor and the rich. The poor man can take advantage of their association. Sadbhi. By the association of such saintly persons. Kshinoti. Reduces. Tam. The original cause of material suffering. Darsham. the desire for material enjoyment. Tata, thereafter. Arat, very soon. Vishuddhyati, his material contamination is cleansed off. Translation. Saintly persons may freely associate with those who are poverty-stricken, but not with those who are rich. A poverty-stricken man, by association with saintly persons, very soon becomes uninterested in material desires, and the dirty things within the core of his heart are cleansed away. Purport. It is said, Mahad vichalanang rinam grihinam dinachetasam, Bhagavatam 10.8.4. The only business of a saintly person or sannyasi, a person in the renounced order, is to preach Krishna consciousness. Sadhus, saintly persons, want to preach to both the poor and the rich, but the poor take more advantage of the sadhus' preaching than the rich do. A poor man receives sadhus very quickly, offers them obeisances, and tries to take advantage of their presence, whereas a rich man keeps a big greyhound dog at his door so that no one can enter his house. He posts a sign saying, "Beware of dog," and avoids the association of saintly persons, whereas a poor man keeps his door open for them and thus benefits by their association more than a rich man does. Because Narada Muni in his previous life was the poverty-stricken son of a maidservant, he got the association of saintly persons and later became the exalted Narada Muni. This was his actual experience. Therefore, he is now comparing the position of a poor man with that of a rich man. Satang prasangan mama virya samvido bhavanti hritkarna resayana kata tajo shanadas vapavarga vartmani shradharatir bhaktir anukramishyati. Bhagavatam 3.25.25. If one gets the advantage of association with saintly persons, by their instructions, one becomes more and more purified of material desires. Krishna bahir mukahaya bhogavan chakare nikatasta maya tare japatiyadhare prema vivarta. Material life means that one forgets Krishna and that one increases in one's desires for sense gratification. But if one receives the advantage of instructions from saintly persons and forgets the importance of material desires, one is automatically purified. Chaito darpana marjanam bhavamahadavagnya nirvapanam. Shikshastaka, text 1. Unless the core of a materialistic person's heart is purified, he cannot get rid of the pangs of bhavamahadavagni, the blazing fire of material existence. Om jnana timirandhasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshurun militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. So many things come to mind when reading this purport. The shloka in Bhagavad Gita, janma mrityu jaravyadhi dukha doshanu darshanam, that, and it's described that one should anudarshanam, continually have the memory, have the understanding that dukkha, unhappiness, dosha, great faults, the great faults of this material world are birth, old age, disease, and death. So this is a constant. And one can see that actually implied in this verse and purport is that people who are wealthy are automatically feel that they are exempt from these faults and these unhappinesses because of their material opulence. And so it is rather rare that the rich people are able to take advantage. It is described in the Bible that, one can as easily enter the kingdom of heaven as a rich man if one has to a camel to enter the eye of a needle. And actually, there's the beginning of this saying. Actually, there was a gate in Jerusalem. This is where the Bible gets it from. And his camels, you know, they would be laden with all these goods, you know, by these merchants. And for the camel to enter this particular gate, they would have to take off all the goods first so that the camel could go through. So this is where this expression comes from, for the camel entering the eye of a needle. So it is the same that actually at the time of death, this is the natural occurrence, that we have to leave off everything, including these bodies, in order to enter the next life. And so better to have shed these various anartas, the unwanted things that we have in so many ways due to this material contamination. So this was the first realization of this that came to mind. And so we have this verse from the 10th canto, chapter 8, text 4, Mahat Vichalanam. This Vichalanam, Mahat, the movement of great personalities, is the translation that's given into the Nrinam of ordinary persons, Grihinam, especially the householders. So this is the translation is that persons like you, persons like a great sadhus, they move from one place to another, not for their own interests, but for the sake of poor-hearted grihastas. Otherwise, they have no interest in going from one place to another. So that is their function, that is their dharma, that is their desire, actually, is to deliver the fallen souls. And these mahat means mahatmas. And so what is it that they do? And this is described in the second verse that Srila Prabhupada quotes in the purport, Satam Prasangan Mamavirya Samvido, that in the association of pure devotees, the discussions of the pastimes and activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is very pleasing and satisfying to the ear. Such a nice hrit rasayanam, that rasa that one gets from this. And that in due course of time, by these discussions, one develops shraddha. That's the last line of the verse. Shraddha ratir bhaktir anukramishyati. So it is very interesting that this progression is there, just as we have the progression outlined. It's actually in the purport of in 12th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, that adau shraddha, sadhu sangha, and then bhajana kriya, anartha nivritti, rati, and then there's rati and leading up to prema. So this progression is also there within this verse. It's at first there is shraddha, there is faith. And by hearing these transcendental descriptions of the spiritual world, one develops faith in Krishna and faith in the process of Krishna consciousness. And that the second factor is sadhu sangha, the association of devotees. And third, bhajana kriya, that one actually undertakes devotional service, sadhana, just as was explained by that nice description of Srila Prabhupada at the Radha Damodar temple, that Prabhupada performed so much sadhana that this devotee describing Srila Prabhupada's pastimes, he described that there was so much sadhana from Srila Prabhupada that early in the morning, late at night, no matter at what time, Srila Prabhupada would be constantly chanting, constantly doing some service. And we know that actually, if one goes to some of these places, for example, I remember going to where Srila Prabhupada's office he considered it his office in Delhi, in Chippewadakalan. Chippewadakalan is a place. Actually, it's the area code is Delhi 6. It's actually very famous in India because it is the old city of Chandni Chowk. And so in this district, you go through all these little winding alleys, and then finally there's this temple there, actually. And it's a very obscure place and kind of difficult to find. And you go into Srila Prabhupada's quarters that were there, and you understand, as a Westerner coming to see this, you could understand nobody would choose to live here, you know, unless he had to. You know, there was no other choice, you know, because such an austere situation, you have no idea. There's no running water, only there's one faucet down on the ground floor for some bathing and like that. And there was electricity, though. There was electricity. And so this is a place where Srila Prabhupada actually did his business of printing his Srimad Bhagavatams before coming to the West. This was his base in Delhi. And also, you go to the Radha Damodar, the rooms in Radha Damodar. It's a very austere situation. There's no luxuries at all, nothing. It's just bare rooms. And, you know, so you bring in a few things to make it livable. You have to do like that. So it's a very telling, actually, that and one sees what is the mentality of the sadhu, you know. And one sees from the Bhagavad Gita, actually, Arjuna asks Krishna, you know, the verse is stita pragyasya ka bhasha, samadhi stasya keshava, stita di kim prabhaseta, kim asita vrajeta kim. Arjuna said, O Krishna, what are the symptoms of one whose consciousness is thus merged in transcendence? How does he speak? What is his language? How does he sit? And how does he walk? Actually, there's a little, this sitting, it's not actually like sitting down. It is stita samadhi stasya, stitadi, situated. How does he, asita, remain still? How does he situate himself in order to actually absorb and be absorbed in transcendence like that? So, and I always found the answer, Krishna's answer, is very amazing, actually. The translation is, O Partha, when a man gives up all varieties of sense, of desire for sense gratification, which arise from mental concoction, and when his mind thus purified find satisfaction in the self alone, then he is said to be in pure transcendental consciousness. So this idea that sense gratification is arising from mental concoction, because one can see, if there is one thing in all the readings for myself personally of Srila Prabhupada's books, of Srila Prabhupada, and I spent many hours in the archives, I would say, proofreading hundreds of hours of tapes and lectures, conversations like this. The one thing that overrides every other consideration is that consistency. Srila Prabhupada was consistent in every way in following the understanding of Shastra Chakshus, of following in the footsteps of the spiritual master and following the words of the sadhus. Now, Guru, Shastra, and Sadhu. These things were absolutely constant. And in so many ways, even sometimes in joking or but especially in instructing others, his message was complete. It was not as if it was, and also his mood was always in this way. It's not as if at some point he would say to the people around him or the devotees around, okay, now we're going to goof off and we'll talk about, you know, whatever. You know, we'll talk about other things, you know. This was not Srila Prabhupada's method at all. And not his, he had no mental concoction in that way. So this is elevated and extraordinary in this material world. This is very extraordinary. It doesn't matter. You can speak to practically anyone, and they can be diverted. Whatever their goal of life is, they can be diverted by so many mental considerations of their situation, their anartas, and so on. One can always find a hook, you know, and lead them astray, as it were, into Maya, into their whatever. And so this is an important thing about sadhus, and we see that the key to this is also to this consciousness, to this kind of absorption, is in the verse Vishaya Vinivartante Nirahastra Dehina Rasavarjam Rasopyasya Param Drishtvanivartate, that by cultivation of a higher taste, the embodied soul, although the taste for sense objects remains, but he ceases such engagement by experiencing a higher taste, and thus he becomes fixed in consciousness. So we have to, in Krishna consciousness, develop this higher taste for hearing the pastimes of Krishna and becoming absorbed in our sadhana and chanting of the holy names and reading of the books and pastimes of Krishna. So this is the key, and there are so many other things, because, as it says here in the purport, material life means that one forgets Krishna and one increases in one's desire for sense gratification. That's also this verse quoted from Prema Vivarta, that actually if one engages in sense gratification, one's spiritual life is basically finished. You know, there was a nice story that in Bhagavad Gita chapter 6, text 4, there's also one, I should find it because it was instructive at the time, that yadahi nendriyarteshu na karmasvanu sajjate sarva sankalpa sanyasi yoga rudhastadochyate. A person is said to be elevated in yoga when, having renounced all material desires, he neither acts for sense gratification nor engages in fruitive activities. So this is another key. This is almost a perpetual refrain in the Bhagavad Gita, that Krishna is trying to instruct everyone that one has to let go of these things and become absorbed. And the key to becoming absorbed is to be enjoying in these things. Actually, you know, they speak about chanting and dancing in kirtan, you know. Even as a young boy growing up, I could not understand this dancing business, you know, that, you know, the people would go to a dance, or they would have these dance studios where you would go to classes to learn how to dance, and I couldn't understand, what is this dancing? You know, why people move their body in this way or that way? I could understand that, you know, maybe if you're holding a woman in your arms, that this is enjoyment, but, you know, why not cut to the chase? You know, what's the point of this dancing business? It doesn't seem logical, you know. But we can see actually that with Krishna conscious vision, one can see that dancing actually allows one to have a great release of the bodily function of being embodied and being able to understand, being able to enjoy Krishna consciousness. It enhances the enjoyment factor So both in material life, later as I got older, I understood more about dancing. But in Krishna consciousness, I could understand that this was a wonderful release and a wonderful like sport almost, this dancing for Krishna. Dancing for Krishna is so nice. And it enhances the chanting. So one can see that this, we call it dovetailing of material propensities in the service of Krishna, is the described as yukta vairagya, this joining. It is a renunciation, but it is at the same time an absorption of the material facilities and material tendencies into the service of Krishna. That is the key for bhakti yoga. That is what we mean by bhakti, and this yoga practice. It's so interesting that, you know, and one does become fascinated when one first sees yoga practitioners, you know, with the asanas and the breathing and all these bizarre contortions, you might say, of the body. This is their attempt at dance of a sort, to try to engage the body in progressive movement, rather than just nothing at all, that the normal activities. So this yoga practice is a very curious thing. I also found that very curious as a child, wondering. I would see these books with these different yoga asanas, and I could never do them, and I could never figure out how they got to that point. You know, what motivated them to do this? But now in Krishna consciousness, we understand, and seeing when one hears these stories of the yogis, how they're able to stop their breathing, they're able to stop the heartbeat, they're able to control the body to such a great degree. And so it is still very curious. And then one understands that actually this leads to certain yogic perfections, and that this is their goal as yogis, materialistic yogis, that is. And one understands that also Arjuna rejects this type of yoga, because he understands that he is, by his nature, not able to perform these austerities, because one has to follow one's nature in this material world. One has certain propensities, and these material propensities are a reflection of spiritual propensities. And this is important to understand for practitioners of bhakti yoga, that the material world is also, in the final analysis, it is also spiritual, because it is the energy of Krishna. And seeing that spirituality within the material world is the key. Just as in the 7th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, and also in some other, in the 10th chapter, Krishna describes how one sees the material world through spiritual vision. Rasoham apsukonteya, you know, that by the taste of water, by the light of the sun and the moon, one understands that these are the potencies of Krishna. And Krishna says, I am the strength of the strong, balam balavatam chaham. And he understands, even going down to the insignificant plants, punyo gandak prithivyam cha, that I am the fragrance of the earth, of the flowers of the earth. And this is a wonderful thing, you know, that we can actually, and we do this in our puja every day. We understand these flowers that are offered to Krishna, these scents, these fragrances that are offered to him, and we appreciate their beauty and their aesthetic quality. You know, actually, there's a whole There's a whole industry, a material industry, based on this, and it is a very considered a very high class industry, that to create different perfumes and different scents and different aromas, you know, so that one can enjoy these things. This is actually a very profitable endeavor in the material world for famous people. They like to do this, you know, they're very attracted to that. So, but we can see that attraction, that is originally the attraction for Krishna. And we can understand that actually we do that. It was a very curious thing when I first saw it, that this one devotee, he would bring this very expensive perfume that he would buy, and then in Mayapur, and then he had this little blower, you know, psh, 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 and he would squirt on the deities every morning, you know. And I said, this is very sweet, very cute, you know, and a little curious. But Pran Govinda Prabhu is smiling. He remembers those days, you know, in the early days in Mayapur. Yeah. So this is our great good fortune that we're able to follow from Shraddha to Rati and Bhakti, Anukramishyati, that we follow in these footsteps of these great souls. And we try to get their association, and we try to follow in their footsteps. So, are there any questions or comments? Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. So, it's stated that it's easier for the poor man to follow the saintly person.
Yes.
But the verse also says, for the rich man it's difficult, or he cannot. Yeah. What is it? And also, we know that, you know, we have devotees that are rich. Does that apply to them too? I mean,
well, explain a little there? Devotees that are rich, it is very easy for them to become distracted. Let's put it that way. For a rich person, it is very easy to be distracted and pulled away from the path. But, of course, we have examples of very rich people. There's the example of Pundarik Vidyanidhi, who was a very rich person, and he enjoyed great opulence, you know, and so much so that Gadadhar, he was doubtful, is this person really a great devotee? He's, you know, enjoying lying on the couch and, you know, enjoying these things. And but then when he saw that when they started to chant the Krishna pastimes, he would go into complete ecstasy. They would have to hold him down, you know, he was so much in ecstasy and so much enjoying and he would display such ecstatic symptoms when he heard the pastimes of Krishna. So, you know, there are always, as they say, there are always exceptions to the rule. The rule is there, but there are always exceptions. And Krishna's Krishna consciousness means that in this material world, we are the exceptions to the rule. Because as a rule, people are much, much involved in sense gratification and fruitive activity. So this is exceptional. And even Krishna says that, you know, Manushya Nam Sahasreshu is a great verse. Yes, Prabhu.
It seems like Bhaktivinoda Thakur also spoke in Jiva Dharma that to embrace the teachings of sadhus, one requires some pre-qualification, like detachment from the unnecessary things of the material world. It actually helps them. So the poor people in general, they don't have much.
Yes.
So it's easier to listen to the sadhus. And I was thinking, you know, Radha Pada Prabhu.
Yes.
One morning he was chanting in Mayapur, and he told me, I mean, he donated the deities of Mayapur.
Yes.
He donated half of the temple, the old temples of Mayapur. So one day he was telling me that how Gorgo Muni Prabhu, when he was a GVC or president, yes, also, he went three times to his office, and he was a very rich man.
Oh yes.
So he did not need, but every time he sent a clerk or somebody, tell him I'm busy, I don't have time. Then on the third time he could not resist, so he gave me 100 rupees, that's all, but still didn't come. Well, within a week he got a car accident. The accident went so heavy that he had to lie down on a bed for 6 months.
Wow.
Yeah, that was the turning point, how he came to Prabhupada's movement.
Yeah.
Then he had nothing to do, and after a few weeks he got so bored, he didn't know what to do, he can't get up, he can't do anything. So then he sent his wife and everybody to the Calcutta temple to beg apology, and he, you know, how contemplation starts when the serious, severe pain causes, right, someone. So he thought that's how. Then he got these books, and he was nothing but to read Prabhupada books for 6 months. And after 6 months, wow, he started chanting, and he used to come to Bhavananda with a full briefcase of packed with the rupees. I saw with my own eyes.
Yeah.
That's how he gave so much money to Mayapur. So poverty is, I'm not saying people should become poor, but poverty has a facility to become devotee faster than rich.
Yes. Also, there is a Chanakya shloka to the effect that poverty destroys all good qualities also. So we should also be mindful of that, because poverty also can create envy in people. They become envious. They say, oh, this man is rich, why am I poor, you know, like that. So there's also that tendency is there.
But Sanatana Goswami Pada give a little details about the white tree body. Narad Muni could have given them a poor.
Why what?
Why tree, tree bodies body? Yes, to these two yes, sons of Kubera?
Yeah, yeah.
Why not give them a poor instead of Kubera's son? Now they have become poor of some wretched family.
Right.
But then Sanatana Goswami Pada, he's giving the point, question, and then he's defeating. He said, if you see majority tendency, inclination amongst the poor, they're desperate to get out of the poverty.
Yes.
And they will do hook or by crook. In Calcutta also, I see they do illegal activities just to get out of it.
Yes.
So Narad Muni went through calculation that how it is not appropriate to make them poor. Somebody will think, he could have. Why Narad Muni is so harsh? Devotees is never harsh, especially Prabhupada Narad Muni like that. But why he's so mean, you know, materially, yeah, they will say, at least give them, okay, their pride came due to the richness, why not give poor? So Narad Muni, Sanatana Goswami Pada says, Narad Muni is such an exalted discriminator that he checked all this before he gave to this tree body. Then amongst the animal also, he could have given animal body.
Yes.
So amongst the animal also, they are looking for sense enjoyment.
Yes.
All the time.
Yes.
So therefore, Narad Muni's blessing was that their only enjoyment is to drink the water through their leg. That's the only enjoyment they would get.
Yes.
But because they are fully conscious about their past deeds, so they can regret until somebody find that I am empty of spiritual blessing, they will not seek for it. So they had to come. So this regret and the saranagati had take place by this punishment.
Thank you very much for that, yes.
I was thinking that when the Livyanti is not with Krishna, he's feeling a lack, something's missing. Can't quite put his finger on it, but he knows something's missing and he's feeling incomplete. So he has this, it manifests through the senses that if I get some sense enjoyment, I'll be happy, and money will be a facility for that. And then when he actually gets some money and he gets some facility, the artha, kama, that enjoyment is a little bewildering, but it's intoxicating. It agitates the desire for, because he's not really satisfied. Because you can't satisfy it. The desire is coming from another platform. So he desires more and more, so he gets more and more money, and he gets more outrageous in his endeavors to enjoy. You know, if you see rich people, if you can actually get through to a deeper side to them, they're the most frustrated. Because when you don't have money, you think, if I get money, then I'll be happy. But when you're rich and you have money and you're still not happy, then you go kind of almost crazy and you just start doing more and more absurd things because you can't actually get to your enjoyment, your happiness, because it's another place. So that intoxicating element of money, you can see it with these two that we're discussing, the two sons of Kuvera. They, because they're devotees, they had to be devotees to get to this stage. It's a very elevated stage that they were at, higher planetary systems. So they had, but there was still that desire. And so if you take away that intoxicating element, then it's possible to get sober again to see the real situation. So that's what I was just pointing out, that money agitates that material proclivity more and more. You get highly and more intoxicated.
Yeah. This is...
Saraswati Goswami Pada comes from he was a prime minister of Nawab Hussain Shah. So it's very funny. I mean, at that time, probably he knew. He said, why the rich people has a maid servant and gated, big gate, why? He asked that question, so that their sense enjoyment can be undisturbed.
Yes.
And why poor people are always disturbed? They don't have a gate. They don't even have a roof properly. So he gave a very good logic why Narad Muni's punishment is actually the supreme blessing.
Yes, the great sages, the great devotees, they have that facility given by Krishna that they understand. That this understanding, and this understanding is just, it's beyond simple study and book reading, book learning like that. This is like, it's like an intuition. You might say that there's a saying that common sense is the blessing of the super soul, of the Paramatma, that to have just common sense about things. It's a great blessing, and so we can see how that operates. In that people who are intoxicated by wealth or beauty or fame or these things, they lose common sense. You know, they lose the benediction of Paramatma in that way. And in the material world, actually, one sees that practically everyone loses this common sense. You know, and that's why the world is always, this material world is always in a chaotic situation. And we should always understand, dukkha dosha anudarshanam, always. There's no let up, Just the other day, leaving my doorstep and bang, the wasp bites me. What for? Why did I deserve this? But there it is. There's always something that's going to happen in this material world.
Take place. So I think the key is, like, I think you were saying that about not necessarily the opulence, but being bewildered by it.
Like, yes.
I mean, there's devotees who I know that are like very opulent, but they're not, they're like first class devotees.
Yes, the exceptions to the rule. Yes, John, thank you.
Just a comment, but when you were talking about how poverty, how that can breed envy, I was remembering that when I went to India, I think it was 1984, and went past one of the major slums in Bombay, I almost try not to look because it's so disturbing to see it. But I remember going past and seeing it. And when I went again in 2000, also going past this very vast slum, and I noticed something new, and it was so alarming, and it was television aerials, you know, coming out of these little, you know, hovels. And I thought, wow, what a recipe for disaster, that you have these people who have nothing, and now they have the media infiltrating their homes so they can see everything that they don't have. It'll create so much greed, so much want, so much crime. And that Kali Yuga, I thought, was really, really pushing on. It was really sad to see it, because I thought previously, even though they were poor, they would each have their little altar, you know, and they could just be happy and peaceful. Just, you know, whatever they had, they could offer, you know, some water or a tulsi leaf. But there's no way they can be satisfied with that coming in.
Yeah, that's the curse of modern communication. On the one hand, it's a great facility, you know, even for spreading Krishna consciousness, you know, one can use this facility, but at the same time, it is also a facility for sense gratification. Yes. And it's funny you mentioned about not wanting to look at the slums. I would remember driving into Calcutta, you know, and then at one point I suddenly realized, I've got to get out of here. This looks normal, you know. But one becomes accustomed, one becomes attuned to the material situation and loses perspective, you know. But anyway, that's just an aside. Yes, Prabhu.
It's just one comment on that 244 verse, that to bewildered. It was an interesting word for the Sanskrit for bewildered. Uh-huh. I thought in this particular one it's aparita chetasa. Aparita chetasa. So I don't know much about Sanskrit, but I know.
Samadhano vidyate. The resolute determination.
But you know, I know a little bit. Apa, like aparad, aparita, it generally means your heart, and cheta, your consciousness. Aparita cheta. So it's all off track.
Consciousness that, within the heart. Yeah.
And that there's about three other verses that come up to mind when you follow.
It's also kind of very, very curious that in the West we would talk about the brain. But in all in Vedic literature, they talk about the heart. Because the heart is not only the seat of consciousness, but it's also the emotion. You know, bhakti yoga, it doesn't depend so much on gyan. It depends on feeling. And the feelings from the heart, that's more important. And that's a nice observation that it's Hrita is the important organ.
In order to reconcile that verse, 244,
it says that Baladev Vidyabhusan Thakur explains that material hierarchy is given in the later on, that how Krishna wants Arjuna to see that way. Indiani parani ahur indiyabha para mana manastu para buddhi buddhistu para tat sha. Above the sense object is the senses, above the senses is the mind, above the mind is the intelligence, above the intelligence is the self or the soul. Now in this verse 244, it's reverse. That's why Krishna is putting, it's a very nice scientific way he's explaining, where the mind is supposed to be under the intelligence or controlled by intelligence. But here, bhogo aishwarya prasaktanam, the attachment self-centered, the mind is above the intelligence. That's why the irresolute determination cannot
does not come. Take place.
So when we follow Srila Prabhupada, that time the intelligence is above the mind.
Yes.
So Arjuna, you should come that. It's very nice, scientific, that point.
Yeah, very scientific, actually. The science of psychology, Vedic psychology.
Sometimes I like to make little jokes or observations, so it says your intelligence is out of order. It's out of order. The two ways. It's out of order because it's below the mind instead of above the mind. It's out of order because it's not working. So you're they got the sign, you know, on the vending machine,
yeah,
out of order. Intelligence out of order.
Yeah, so thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Jai Srila Prabhupada.